Okay. Ad Shamelech b'misibo perik aleph pasuk yud beis. While the king was b'misibo, nirdi nasan recha b'misibo. Let's see the mitzvahs one word at a time. Ad Shamelech b'misibo ki ilu ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-shuk tishlach amodecha le'mar lo. The chashuk, the object of desire, responds, sends the following message to him. Hine ba'od heyos hamelech nishan b'misibo. While the king, from the mitzudos pasuk yud beis, perik aleph pasuk yud beis, the mitzudos, while the king was b'misibo. So who is the one?
I'm sorry, I know I missed a lot, but are you doing literal translations?
Are we doing little translations?
Are you doing literal translations?
We're doing three primary commentators: mitzudos, Rashi, and Targum, in that order. And the Mitzudos attempts to do a more literal translation. Rashi and the Mitargum stay away. Rashi and the Targum, they definitely distance themselves, and they're much more midrashic. Okay, but even the Mitzudos is not always literal. He always comes to say everything is a mashal. He first tries to give us the little interpretation, then he gives a mashal. So here as well, kilu hechoshuka tishlach amarecho leimor lo. The chashuka is the person who desires is sending the following message. Now, what is the message? Hine ba'od heyos hamelech nishan b'msibo, while the king was reclining on his couch, the gemar hasuuda, at the end of the meal, as we all know from the laws of Pesach, in the time of the Gemara in Masechta Pesachim, Avi Pesachim, that in ancient times everyone sat down on their own couch and they reclined at their own couch. So while the king was reclining on his couch at the end of the Suda, and it is the custom at the end of the meal to bring the mugmar, to bring spices. And in fact, this is a whole set of Mishnayos at the end of Masechta Brachos, that the person who recites Birchas Hamas is the one that recites the Brach al Hamugmar. The custom was in ancient times, after you say Birchas Hamazon, we don't do this today, you finish saying Birchas Hamazon, then you make a borei mine besamim, or borei atse besamim, you make a bracha borei mine besamim. And the fact is, the maschil b'mitzvah, oimim loy gemar, the one that had the merit to recite Birchas Hamazon, is the one that has the right to say the bracha of borei mine besamim. So here is exactly what the Mitzvah is very, very nicely. He puts all of this into the Pasek. Over here, the Melech is sitting at the Suda. The Suda is over. We have already recited Birchas Hamazon. And now we're up to reciting the Bracha Borei Minei Besamim. And while we're waiting to Ba'az HaDerech L'Havi L'Fanav HaMugmar Mevusam Choshuv, it's a Suda which is a very distinguished collection of spices. L'Halos Reach Tov, in order to bring forth an aroma, fragrance, an aroma at the end of the meal. Im kol zeh chavili hanerd asher imadi, the bundle of nerd. Nerd is normally something which is a pleasant fragrance. Nerd is one of the 11 spices of the Ketores. It's something, and therefore, by definition, is something which has a pleasant aroma, not something which has a foul aroma. Asher hoya imadi noisin rechay v'noydeif ma'od umavatel hamugmar hahu. This nerd gave forth something foul, something very, very foul, and it was mevatel the reich hamugmar hahu, and it nullified the fragrance of the good fragrance, the fragrance of the mugma, which is pleasant. Now that right away is difficult, because we normally assume that the word nerd is good, and here the word nerd is being used in reference to something that is bad. Let's see. Hanim shalhu loy marhinei hamasim hatayim shebiyadi gavru meod al maasei mivchorei ha'ivdi akachav mazalos. My deeds prevailed over the deeds of the masim, the good deeds of the non-Jews. I'm sorry, I was confusing with Rashi and the Targum. Okay, so according to the Mitzvah, this is very important. The Mitzvah over here is learned that nerd indeed is something very good. The nerd is a very good fragrance. And the fragrance is even better than the typical fragrance that is found at the mugmar. When the meal is over, they bring forth this thing called the mugmar, which is a pleasant aroma. Nerd is even better. It's even better. In fact, it's so much better that it's mevatel, the fragrance of the mugmar. The mugmar is... what?
Overpowers
the fragrance of the mugmar. The mugmar is nothing kineged the delicious fragrance of the nerd. So what over here is the mashal? So very unique, novel interpretation from the Mitzudos is that Hashem is the Melech. The Melech, Hashem created the world, and in the world there are the Umos Olam, and there is Klal Yisrael. The Umos Olam occasionally do good things. They also do good things, even though they worship idols and they cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu a lot of Akmas Nefesh. But once in a while, the Umos Olam, they do Chesed. They do very good things. Hashem, so Klal Yisrael, so here at HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting at the Suda, Hashem made the world. He's enjoying, taking satisfaction that the world has achieved some degree of purpose. The Umos Olam also contribute to this world. But when Klal Yisrael, when they give forth their nerd, their fragrance, they give Nachas Ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Nachas Ruach of Klal Yisrael is so much greater, is so much more intense. It is Mevatel any good deeds of the Umos. It's a very unique interpretation. Look at the words we're talking about the Nimshal. V'hanimshal hu lo'ma hineh hamas matav m'shebiyodi. The good, my good deeds, gavru me'od, greatly prevailed, greatly overcame al ma'aseh mivchorei, the select good deeds, ho'oivdei kachavim u'mazolos, u'che'efes v'tohu, and their good deeds were nothing, heima, relative, mul ma'aseh, relative to my good deeds. So the Melech, according to the Mitzudos, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'msibo is he's reclining, and he's taking satisfaction in his creation. It's already after the Suda, he's about to have his Mugma brought before him. The Maisim Tovim Klal Yisrael, they come forth before Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he has derived such satisfaction, he's not even interested in taking note of the good deeds of the Umos HaOlam. This is the interpretation of the Mitzudos David. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Ad Shanech Bim Sibo, Meshiva Kineses Yisrael Veimeres, Veimeres Kol Zeh. The speaker here is Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is speaking. And they're saying the following. Now, according to Rashi, everything that's being said now is being said by Klal Yisrael from the beginning of Pasuk Yudbeis until the end of this perek. And basically, what we're saying over here is, you have to really read all the Pesukim together according to Rashi, is even though Klal Yisrael did a terrible avera by worshipping the Egel after Matan Torah, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Klal Yisrael, and he rested his divine presence in Klal Yisrael in the form of the Mishkan, and Hashem made it known that he still loves us and does not have any complaint against us for our bad deeds. So Pasuk Yudbeis really is the opening Pasuk of this expression. Even though, let me just explain now, so even though Shamelech Bim Sibo, when the king was Bim Sibo, he was giving us the Torah, we were in the desert, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still celebrating with us Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, near the here. Here's where Rashi will differ from the Mitzudos. Nirdi, which we're interpreting to mean as a foul spice. My spice, we gave forth a foul odor. Nosan Reicho. It doesn't matter. Hashem still forgave us. Hashem still tzror hamor dodi li bein shaddai yolin. Hashem still gave us the Mishkan. The tzror hamor in Pasuk Yud Gimel is a mashal for the Mishkan. Hashem still gave us the mitzvah to build the Mishkan, and in the Mishkan he rested his divine presence between bein shaddai yolin, refers to the Aron on top of the Aron between the two badim, and eshkol hakoyfer dodi li. We're reading ahead, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he forgave us, was a cluster. Hashem was a cluster of koifer. Koifer is a spice, but here in this context, it means Hashem granted us a dosage of forgiveness. Eshkol is a cluster. Koifer has the shorish of kapara, forgiveness. Dodi li becharmei engedi, in the vineyards of engedi, which we'll see Rashi, which is. Okay, we'll see Rashi exactly what that means, but it basically means that Kadosh Baruch Hu still forgave us, and then Pasuk Tezvav and Tezayin goes on to say Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us that we're still beautiful in His eyes, even though we have sinned. So let's see Rashi again over here in Pasuk Yudbeis. Meshiva Kineses Yisrael Veimeres, Klal Yisrael responds and says the following, Kol Ze Emes Toiva Gimal Tani. All of the good, everything that we've mentioned in the previous Sukkim is true. You've been so kind to us. Vani Gimalticha Ra'ah. but we have repaid goodness with evil. What do we mean? Kibod shamelech al hashulchan misibas chupaso. While Hashem was at the table of the celebration of his canopy, meaning of the wedding between himself and Klal Yisrael, nirdi nosan lurecho chiluf lahavish. I exchanged a pleasantness with an odor. Havish is an odor, foul odor, which means be'od shashchina b'Sinai. While the Shechina was resting on Sinai, kilkalti be'egel. I transgressed by worshiping the egel. For lashon chibu kosva kosov. And over here, the pasuk could have said a lot worse. There is the Gemara Masechta. This is the Gemara, a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. I could have said nirsi hivish recho, my nirdi hivish. That would be the correct word. It produced a foul odor. Does not say that. All it says b'loshon sagi, in a clean expression, nosan. It gave forth. It gave forth a fragrance. Does not say that the fragrance. It gave forth a smell. Does not tell us if the smell was foul, an odor, or was pleasant like a fragrance. The truth was it was foul, but the. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us and does not want to embarrass us or put us to shame, he says in a very delicate way, B'derech Remes, that we gave forth a foul odor, we gave forth a smell, not telling us that it was really a foul smell. Loshon Chibo Kosev HaKosev, the pasuk is written with the expression of love, not to put all the blame upon us. Nosan Recho, it says it gave forth a smell. V'loi Kosav hivish. The better word would have been hivish. Oh, hisriach lefi shadibir hakosub belosho nikia. And in the parentheses, he writes over here: Ayin Barashi b'sefer Shabbos Perek Rabbi Akiva de'atam de'le kosav hivish or hisriach mishum chiba because of love. Achein leperish atayis v'sham perish sheperish v'hochi kamar. This is what he says: Mash amar nosan v'loy ozuv zeh mishum chiba. That Tosfos says it should have said the word ozuf, the nirdi abandon its good fragrance, and that's the chiba. Achein mashaloi kasev hivish or yisriach zel b'lav hachim mishum losha nikiya. So in other words, the machlekes over here, the main point between Rashi and Tosfos is nared something which gives off a good fragrance, or is nared which gives off a foul fragrance. So according to Rashi, nared is something which gives off a very foul odor, and therefore it should have said nirdi. Hivish Rechel, it fouled the entire place. Or here near the Hisriach Rechel, the Loshon Chiba is that Hashem did not say the word foul, it gave off a smell, and we can figure out on our own that it gave off something which was foul. According to Tosfos, nirdi is not a something which gives off a foul odor. Nerd is something which gives off a pleasant fragrance, as we know from the Yud Aleph Samamani HaKetores. In the Ketores, there are 11 ingredients, and one of the ingredients is nerd. And nerd is something which is pleasant. So therefore, if the Pasuk would want to be explicit that Klal Yisrael did not behave, it should say nirdi, the thing which is supposed to give off something pleasant, ozav rechol, has abandoned, has not been faithful, has not done its mission. So it did not say the word ozav. Instead it says nosan, it continued to give forth something that is pleasant, which of course is not true, but it's written b'loshon nikia, and we have to figure out on our own that we misbehave at Har Sinai. Okay, so we have over here Rashi over here, we have over here three different interpretations of Nosan Recho, just from the Mitzudos and from Rashi. Again, according to the Mitzudos, nirdi means it's something that is pleasant, and Nosan Recho is positive. It indeed, it gave forth a very good fragrance, and the fragrance, the Nachas Ruach, that Hashem has from Klal Yisrael, is so much more than the Nachas Ruach He has from the Umos HaOlam. And their good deeds are bottled kineged our good deeds. According according to Rashi, we're not discussing doing something good, we're discussing the chait of the eagle. The chait of the eagle is described as nirdi nosan recho. According to Rashi, nirdi is something which produces a foul odor. Oh, but we know that when it comes to the yud, the aleph, some money, hakotaris, nerd is something which is pleasant. So I guess there are two different types of nerd. There's a good nerd and there's a bad nerd. I saw one of the mepharshim explains that when nerd is good, it's unbelievable. And when it turns sour, zeh luma zeh, it goes to the extreme opposite. So it's a double-edged sword. Nerd can be a good smell, the very same nerd, if it's not properly maintained and kept, it can have the most repugnant odor possible. And that's what it means here according to Rashi. The nirdi means it was something that was beautiful, but now it was repugnant. Nosan, it really should have said hivish or hisriach, which is a word which means that it stinks. Recho, Hashem had rachmanis upon us in Shir Hashirim. He did not want to embarrass us. So he used Lashon Nekiya, Nosan. According to Tosfos, it's much more delicate, it's much easier. Tosfos says nerd is something that is indeed very, very good. And at the time of the Chedo Egel, Hashem did not consider that we've caused the area to stink. It just means we did not produce fragrance. It was parif. It was parif. Doesn't say that it became foul. It should have been. It should have been positive. We failed. So when it's not positive, it's neutral. It was just. It was nosan. It should have said ozav. It abandoned its good fragrance. But instead, it says nosan recho, which in this context means.
God seems to indicate it's before the ego. In other words, he says it's the good side, but the smell was so pleasing to them, it lifted them up that they wanted to see V'yamo, that he says, that's what generated V'yamo Shei Omar, Alei El Hashem, Atov Yaron Odo Baviu, V'shuvim Mitzvah Yisrael, and that's what generated V'yechaz Hu'es Holokim, the smell of the Nair, rose them to that level that they wanted more.
Remember, we had that discussion about Ilu Kervon Lufnei Har Sinai V'Leid Nosalanu Es HaTorah. So I actually saw that over here. I saw that. I don't remember where I saw it tied exactly into this pasuk. This is a different interpretation.
Right.
This is a drush, and that drush is Ad Shamelech Bim Sibo, meaning when Hashem was at his canopy, meaning at Har Sinai, he was about to give us the Torah. At that moment in time, there was so much love between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Near the my nerd, my spices, nosan recho, it produced fragrance. This is similar to what it says by the Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach will be able to judge by smelling a person. They tell us over Rybelski. A lot of the Hespedim, he was very steeply immersed in Dinei Torah. And Rybelski, he already knew before they even started the Dinei Torah who was right, who was wrong. He can just have a sense. Mm-hmm. And this is a koyach, you don't paskin based upon sense, you have al shulchan aruch. But the Melech HaMashiach, it says that he will judge Klal Yisrael based upon smell, which basically means I don't have to know what it says in shulchan aruch, I can already sense who's right, who's wrong. This is a koyach of Ruach HaKodesh. So they want to take that idea and they want to interpret this into what it says in Chazal. We mentioned this a few days ago. Ilu kervanu lefnei har Sinai v'loy nosan lanu es ha-Torah dayenu. What do you mean dayenu? If you brought us to Har Sinai, the whole purpose of coming to Har Sinai was to give us the Torah. If you didn't give us the Torah, what do you mean dayenu? This is a waste of time. So the common answer is the achdus. Vayichan sham Yisrael neged ahar ki ish echad blei v'echad. This is a very popular answer. Even if we only achieved the achdus, that alone would have been more than enough. But a deeper answer is when they came to Har Sinai, there was such kedusha and there was such love between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, they already sensed. What?
Pasku
Zuhumasan. They already they were like Avraham Avinu, who was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula Koidim Shenitna. How did he know all of the mitzvos? He got a certain sense. When you're on a very high spiritual level, you do not need to be told what to do. You can immediately sense what needs to be done. So they were not mitzvah of the Oiseh at Har Sinai, but at least they knew Kol HaTorah Kula. They knew the Tayag Mitzvos because of the Kedusha, the Shechina that was resting in Har Sinai. And that's exactly what it says over here. Ad Shamelech Bimsibo, while the Melech HaKadosh Baruch, when he came down to Har Sinai, before He gave us the Torah before he Sanochi Hashem Elokecha, Nirdi, my fragrance, my sense of smell, or everything which the word Nirdi encompasses, Nosan Recho, already gave forth its Reach, meaning we already had an appreciation of what the Torah is all about, and we were ready to Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. The only thing that was lacking was that we did not have the words Naseh V'Nishma. We didn't have the Torah, it was not Mitzvah V'Oseh, but it already was sent.
By told Moshe, that's when they say, after the first time it said Naseh,
right?
He told it to them, and then after it says by told Moshe, that's when they said Naseh V'Nishma.
Because that's the Mitzvah V'Oseh.
Right, so that became the Naseh V'Nishma, because you need Torah Shabbat Peh, Torah Shabbat Sav, and that's what generates Naseh V'Nishma.
Okay, now let's go to the Targum. Targum on Pasek Yud Beis. The Ad, the Hava Moshe Reboin Birkia, the Kabbalah Yostrain Luche Avnaya. So, right away from the Targum, we get a sense that the Melech is not like Rashi, not like the Mitzudos. It's not referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is Vayehi Vishurun Melech. He is the Melech. He is the Melech in this pasuk. While Moshe Rabbeinu was Birkia LeKabbalah Yostrein Luchei Avnaya, while he was in the heaven receiving the two Luchos, the Oraisa and the Torah, this Saf Kedta and the Mitzos. It's very interesting that the Targum breaks up this into two different parts. There are the Luchos, there is the Torah, and there are the Mitzos. You would think it's all the same thing. The Targum, the Mitzos, the commandments. So isn't that exactly what the Torah is? Isn't that exactly what the Luchos is? It's not very, very interesting that the Targum is breaking up into three different parts. There are the Luchos, that's one din. Then there's the Torah. And then there are the mitzvahs. What exactly is the difference between the three is not so clear. What happened at this point in time? Kamu rishiei dora hahu ve'eirav revin divenehon. Next chiddush. There are two groups who participated in the making of the egel. The wicked people of the Jews themselves. Maybe that includes Dosam va'aviram. Maybe.
No.
They eirav rav.
What?
They wouldn't have lived to be.
Why not?
They lived a long time after.
So what? But that was a special hashgacha practice. The Mefarshim tell that that's one of the common questions. How could it be that Dosan Vavim always survived? Koirach fell, and this Russia fell, and the Koishesh, you have a lot of people.
Dosan Vavim died with Koirach.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, you're right. But why did they survive so long? Moshe Rabbeinu Yisrov Ayar Ish Mitzri Ish Ivri Maki Ish Ivri Me'echov. Right, he saw the Ish Ivri and Yom Rasha Lama Sakes Reyecha. He called him a Rasha. Mm-hmm. If Moshe called Dosan, they were fighting, and he called why are you hitting Re'ehu? You know, he's just like you, both of you. Rasha Kamaischa. So Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't like Stam a guy in the street calls you names. If Moshe Rabbeinu calls these two people Rasham, they are the real deal, and yet they survive Yitzias Mitzrayim, and they survive Kriyas Yamsuf, and they survive. So what's Shah? So the Mefarshim answer, because they were the taskmasters. They were the ones who were in charge of making sure that the Bnei Yisrael, they built the bricks and the mortar. And when the Bnei Yisrael did not fill the quota, so who are the ones that suffered on their behalf? They're the ones that were beaten. It says this in the Medrash, I believe. Because they are the ones. because they are the ones. Well, someone told me I read this, right? Belsky is that he was once talking to a boy who wasn't so from. One of us, and he said that Noah was 600 years old at the time of the Mabel. So the boy says, no, I saw the movie. Right. He was only 60. He tells me he actually said to him. He's only 60. So he says, no, he was really 600. It's just that in the movie they couldn't find an actor that was 600 years old. So they substituted him for someone that was only 60 years old. So how did Dosan V'Aviram survive? It's because they took the blows. They suffered and didn't complain when Bnei Yisrael were unable to fill the requirements of Paro. They could not produce enough bricks during the period of time, and therefore the ones that were responsible were Dasam Vaviram. They accepted upon themselves to be whipped, to be punished in that merit, even though they were Rishoyim. They survived all the way until the time of Korach.
They were Rishoyim that they didn't go out with Klal Yisrael
during the Yimei Choshech. They came back. There was a second Kriyas Yam Suf for them.
It says, Rama Parah Livnei Yisrael.
To who? To Dasam Vaviram. They refused to leave. They were always looking to make trouble. Okay, but I just want to make this point. The Targum, you have a different Targum. The Targum, my Targum says that there were two people, Kamo Rishie Dora Hahu the Arav Ravin.
The Arav Ravin is the
Arav. Arav, but it says in addition, it says the Rashie Dora. I have here two different categories of people.
The Arav Ravin.
Okay, let me see what you have. Give me one moment.
Okay,
pasuk yud beis. Okay, the oid the raisa the saf kedta come rashiye dora hahu. Okay, it doesn't say the erav. Avod eidet hav the erav ruven di beneihon. Okay, but it's so okay. Different order, but it mentioned over here that there are two different groups that participated in making the egel. The asriu oivodehon, they foul, they made sour. The word is hivishu. This word over here, this word, the asriu oivodehon, their deeds were sour, were repugnant. Unefak lohon shum bish ba'alma. Now this is very interesting. A new insight into the egel. They earned a bad reputation. They got bad PR. In the world, the whole world was watching. Everyone was curious, what's going to happen to the Jewish people? People were betting. Are they going to survive? Are they not going to survive? They escaped. They're in the desert. In the desert, a place of nothingness. How are they going to survive? And when report went out that they worshipped the golden calf, they abandoned Hashem's faith, the whole world turned against Klal Yisrael. They earned a bad reputation. You don't learn about this in the Medrash says. It says over here in the Targum, Unefak Lahona went forth for them, Shum Bish Ba'oma, Shum means a bad name in the entire world. No one had any respect for them. When Hashem gave Klal Yisrael the Torah, the entire world was listening. The whole world heard. This was a Chil Hashem beyond belief, beyond...
Even though it was okay for them to reject it?
Yes, they had higher expectations. The Mikadmas Dina, and now the Targum contrasts the difference between now and then. The Mikadmas Dina, in earlier times, Hava Rechehoi Nadif Ba'oma. In the olden days, before they worshipped the Egel, their fragrance went forth in the entire world. Uvosar Kain Siriu Kinidra. It became disgusting, foul. Uvosarkein Siriu Kigida Recha. Kigida Recha. Okay, so the reason Kirecha Bish Kigida Recha Bish Lachada, an intensely repugnant odor. Now the reason why I think your Gersa changed it from the word Kigida and my Gersa has Kinirda is because Kinirda is Nerd. That's the word in the Pasuk. And Nerd, according to Nerd, the big problem with everyone is always the old commentators here are on the foul pill, are frustrated, is Nerd is good. Nerd is a fragrance which has a pleasant. So therefore maybe he's either coming to replace it or maybe he's just giving a translation to the Gersa, whatever it is. Now here's another also very interesting detail that we don't have in many of the Midrashim. This is something unique. Unechas machtosh segiru al bisrahon. They got tsaras. The punishment for worshipping the Egel, Klal Yisrael was smitten with leprosy. Tsaras. Does this mean the tsaras of the Parshas Tazria Mitzara? Or does this mean a just a physical disease that we call leprosy? Well, it's skin disease, it's not clear. But they did get tsaras al bisrahon. Again, these commentators are very fascinated with this pasuk, because this pasuk is describing the mice of the Egel, and it's giving us information that you're not going to find elsewhere. You're not going to find elsewhere this idea that there's going to be tsaras worshipping the Egel. First of all, who says that tsaras is a punishment for Avodah Zarah? This is Machlokes Chazal. There's a Machlokes in the Gemara for what sins does tsaras come? According to one interpretation, it comes comes for Avodah Zarah, and according to another opinion, it does not come for Avodah Zarah, it only comes for Gili Arayos. Comes from Gili Arayos, does not come from Avodah Zarah. So someone has suggested, even though the eagle was Avodah Zarah, but Chazal tell us the only reason why Klal Yisrael worshipped Avodah Zarah was to be Mater Gili Arayos. Yeah. Gili Arayos, therefore, by Yikuma Litzachek was they wanted to open up restrictions of Arayos. So then it makes perfect sense, because everyone is of the opinion that in punishment for doing Gili Arayos, there is a punishment of Tsaras. And again, the other major chiddush over here is that there are two groups. There's the Erev Rav and there are Rishoyim. Rishoyim we can say is Dosam Vaviram, and the Erev Rav that we know about, that was a general problem. And the third chiddush over here is that he breaks up the Torah into three different parts. Torah, Luchos, is one sug of Torah. It's a different category of Torah. Then there is the Eraisa, and then there are the Mitzvos, the commandments. Okay, and the third chiddush, another next chiddush, is that over here, who is the subject of the pasuk? It is Moshe. When Moshe was absent, Ad Shehamelech bin Sibo, when Moshe was reclining in heaven by Shemayim to receive the Torah, Nirdi Nosan Recho, Nirdi he's clearly defining as a foul odor. It gave forth a foul odor, and which also has a deeper connotation, is that we earned a bad reputation. It's not just we caused Hashem Agmas Nefesh, the whole world no longer looked up to us with an appreciation and esteem as we had in the past. That was the consequence of worshipping the eagle. Now next, Pasuk Yud Gimel goes on to say, nevertheless, even though we made for ourselves problems, Soror Hamor Dodili Bein Shaddai Yolin. Now, the simple meaning over here is that Bein Shaddai means that Soror Hamor is between Shaddai. This bundle, Soror means a bundle of mor, of mirth. Mirth is a what?
Myrrh.
The TH is silent.
What?
No T.
Myrrh. So the myrrh is a spice. I have no idea what it is. Whatever it is, it's a spice. It's a very expensive, unique, exclusive spice, which was typically put in a pouch. And this pouch, in ancient times, was worn around the neck as a necklace, and it would rest in between, right on the chest. Bein Shaddai, and this would bring forth an aroma, and it was something that was precious. So here we're saying that we Klal Yisrael, we have taken this thing called the Tsuror Hamor, the gift that Hashem has given us, this bundle of mor. And we have put it, we have taken this and we have put it between our chest, between our bosom, which means right opposite our heart. Now what does this refer to? So we'll see now, it refers to the Beis HaMikdash. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we've done this terrible Avera, according to Rashi and the Targum, that we've sinned by worshipping the eagle, Hashem still was willing to forgive us, and He rested the Shekhinah among us. So Bein Shaddai means, among Klal Yisrael, the Tzor HaMar, the Mish Gun is going to rest. Let's see the Mitzvot of it. Tzuror Hamor Dodili Im Kol Zeh. Even though we have done this horrible thing, Im Kol Zeh Ata Dodi Nechshavli Litzuror Hamor Shabavur. Now, what's difficult? What do you mean Im Kol Zeh? Because according to the parish of the Mitzvot David Lashitaso, everything so far has been positive. Everything has been positive. The Umos Olam give forth. Fragrance, mugmar, but their mugmar is nothing connected our nerd. Im kol zeh atododi nechshavli litzror hamar shabavur shuhu tsarur vikashur. Being that it is bound, it is tied up and sealed. I made reichoy bo lebal tof. The fragrance does not dissipate. It is potent. It's even better than my nerd. Therefore, I yearn for you. I desire shetolin bein shaddai l'saneg bach, and I yearn shetolin that you should rest bein shaddai Shetolin bein Shaddai lehisanik bach, to take delight in you. So as I told you a different interpretation. Over here it seems that when it says bein Shaddai yolin means the dodi is being yolin bein Shaddai. That's the big issue. What exactly is being? What is yolin bein Shaddai? Is it the dodi, my beloved, or is it the tsror hamar? Which one of these two objects, these two things, is the one that's being resting bein Shaddai? The Mitzvah seems to say that I yearn that the dodi, my beloved, should yolin, should rest bein Shaddai. And what is the nimshul? The nimshul hu loymar hinei hatoivah shegamalt olai gavru al maasai, have prevailed among my sim, ulechein, therefore, esav, I desire shetishre shechinoscha bekiri, that you, Hashem, should rest in me. So let's review over here, let's recap. It's very beautiful what the Mitzvot David over here is doing. He's basically saying that there are three parts. Pasuk Yud Beis and Pasuk Yud Gimel represent three different types of fragrance. Fragrance number one, the weakest fragrance is the mugmar. The mugmar is the fragrance that is brought out at the end of a meal. Fragrance number two is called nerd. That is a stronger fragrance. And fragrance number three, the best fragrance of them all, is called the Soror Hamor. Why is it called? Why is that the best fragrance? Well, number one, Mor seemingly is of a higher quality than the Nerd, and a higher quality of the Mugmar. But also, it's potent. Why is it potent? Because it has been well protected. It is protected. It is Soror V'Kashur. It is tied and sealed in a piece of material, so the fragrance does not dissipate. So therefore, I was saying over there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your fragrance is at olis al kulana, is greater than the other two. The umos olam, their fragrance is compared to the mugmar. The fragrance of Klal Yisrael is compared to the nerd, and the fragrance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to the tsuror hamar. So even though the umos olam are good and we're better, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the best. The at olis al kulana, and therefore we have an intense longing that you should be permanently part of us. Halavai bein shadai. So this is the sequence of events according to the parish of the Mitzudos David. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi continuing in his theme. Rashi is very different. We're discussing over here the chait of the egel, and we've sinned. We've done a terrible avera. But yet tsror hamor dodili Rashi dodi nasali kmo sheyesh le tsror hamor b'cheiko. My beloved has done for me as if he has a present. He has a tsror hamor, a bundle of mor in his bosom. V'omar lo. And the Omar lo, and I've said to him, Hare lucha tsror zeh, you have this tsror sheyitin reyach toiv, that gives forth the reyach toiv, min harishon sheavadita. Better than the first fragrance that you've lost. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu nisratze li Yisrael al maseh ha'egel, umotzul hem kapora al avoinam, and was willing to forgive them for their sins. V'omar hisnadvu l'mishkan, give donations for the Mishkan. The sixth parasha. V'yovei zohov ha'mishkan, and let the gold of the Mishkan come v'yichaper al zohov ha'egel. In the next words, Bein Shaddai Yolin Af Lefi She Ma'alti Bo, even though I have transgressed against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omar Hashem still said, Lishkoin Sham Hashem said, I will dwell among you, Bein Shaddai, Bein Shnei Bad the Aron, between the two Badim of the Aron. So again, according to Rashi, the Tzor Harmor, Hashem has given us a replacement. The replacement for what we have lost, the chibur that we have lost in the beginning, is now going to be captured in the tsror hamar, in this bundle of mar. My beloved has, and he's given this to us. He's given this to us as a kapara for worshiping the Eilus. Let's read the Rashi one more time. Dodi nasali kmo sheyesh lo tsror hamar b'cheika. My beloved has in his chik, in his bosom, he has this bundle of mar. V'omar lo, who said to who? V'omar lo, and he said to him, Harei lucha, I guess it means, it really should be V'omar lo. I'm assuming that really it means is Amal Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, Harei Loch Tzror Zeh, I'm giving you this Tzror, Sheyiten Reach Toiv Min HaRishon, that will give forth even a better fragrance Min HaRishon Shavadata than what you've lost. No, I think what he's saying is Klal Yisrael lost their neret. Ad Shahamelech bim Sibo near the Nosan Reich, we've sinned. By us sinning, so we've lost our natural, we've lost the neret. We were people that produced, we had neret that produced fragrance to HaKadosh Baruch. We gave him Nachas Ruach. By worshipping the eagle, our neret turned into something foul. So Hashem says, okay, it's okay, don't worry, I'll take care of it. Let me give you another spice. I'll give you this thing called Tzor Hamar, and its fragrance is so powerful it will mask the unpleasantness of the nerd that is unpleasant. In other words, Hashem says, I forgive you. You've made a mistake, you smell, you stink. Don't worry, there's a solution. Al Mechaper, and my kapar is going to be shown to you in the form of the Tzror Hamar. And by doing so, that's what Amalo Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, Harei Lecha Tzor Zeh, Sheyitin Reyach Toif. Do not worry that your neret has given forth a foul odor. This Tzor Hamar is even more pleasant than HaRishon Shavadata, what you've lost. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nisratz L'Yisrael, Al Masa HaEgel, Hashem forgave them, U'motzo Lechem Kapara, Al Avoinam, V'Omar, and he said, Hitznad V'Lu Mishkon, bring give a Kapara, V'Yavoy Zavir, HaMishkon Yichab Al Zavah HaEgel, and Hashem Shem will rest in the Beis Hamikdash, Bein Shaddai Yolin will rest upon the Aron HaKodesh between the Shnei Badei Aron. Okay, there are a few. Now before we go to the Targum, I just want to emphasize one point that is true according to the Parish of Rashi, is that the Mishkan basically is the Tzror Hamar. That is what Rashi is saying. The Mar is though Tzror. It's concealed. It's tied up in a pouch, and there's a very tight knot upon it. This is the difference between the Hashras Hashchina before the Chet HaEgel and the Hashras Hashchina after the Chet HaEgel. Even though there was kapara, it's still not the same. Well, what do we mean? Before Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel, it was meant to be the Shechina would rest upon Klal Yisrael out in the open. It would not be limited to a specific location. Everything about the Mishkan all points to the concept of Tzimtzum, limitation. The Shechina is to be found in the Mishkan. The Shechina is not found openly out on the street. It's not found outside of Yerushalayim. It's limited to the Mishkan. Even in the Mishkan itself, it's only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's between the Kruvim. The Aron, the Luchos, which is the source of our Kodesh Baruch Hu's gift to Klal Yisrael, is contained inside of a box, a closed box. If Klal Yisrael would not have sinned, according to many of the commentators, the Luchos would not be contained in a box. The Luchos would be out in the open. Think about it in the Beis HaKnesses. Where is the Sefer Torah? The Sefer Torah is locked up in the Aron HaKodesh. You only take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron HaKodesh when you need to read from. Why? Think about the Siddur, the Machzor, right? On the Omud is a Siddur. Every time davening is over, do you take the Siddur and put the Siddur away in a box and close it up? No, the Siddur stands on the Amud 24/7, and when it's time for Shachris, the Baal Tefil opens up the Siddur and he reads from the Siddur. You don't put the Siddur away, you leave the Siddur on the Amud. So why can't we do the same thing with the Sefer Torah? Leave the Sefer Torah on the Bima. The Sefer Torah should be on the Bima 24/7. And when it comes time for Kriyas HaTorah, we open the Sefer Torah, we read the Sefer Torah. why do we have to take the Sefer Torah and put the Sefer Torah in the Aron HaKodesh? The answer is because that's the way it was in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, Hashem said, you take the luchos, and the luchos are to be put in a box, and the box is to be covered with the kaporis. On top of the kaporis are the kruvim. That was not meant to be. It was meant to be when Moshe Rabbeinu was to bring down the luchos were to be exposed for the entire Klal Yisrael to see anytime that they wanted. There's not going to be a Mishkan where it's members only. You have to be a kohen. You can't go into Kodesh HaKodashim because the Mishkinah is meant to be out in the open, available for everyone in the open. Because Klal Yisrael worship the Egel, they sinned. They lost that Kedusha where it's available at every single moment in time. Now it's only going to be available at isolated moments in time. The Shechinah of Hashem is going to be limited to a very specific location, to a very specific area, to a very specific time. Everything about the Mishkan and the Moadim represents the concept of Tzimtzum. We are nene from those moments in time, and we take it out to the entire year, and we take it out to our entire life. But you can't have it exposed 24/7. That's why it's called the Tzror Hamor. The Mugmar is not tied up in a bundle. It's not wrapped up and sealed. It's exposed. The Nerd is not tied up. It's on a plate. It's in a utensil. And Hashem says, I forgive you for worshipping the Egel. And I'm going to show you how I forgive you by giving you a replacement for your sin. It's going to be in a tsror. It's going to be in a pouch that is sealed and locked. In other words, the good, delicious fragrance of this object can only be experienced when you open it up and you smell it. But you don't do that all times. After you finish smelling, you have to close it and lock it up, and no longer are you going to experience it. This is the essence of what the Mishkan and the Mikdash is. It's a makom of tzimtzum. Tzimtzum. Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Bayis Rishon, he did something very strange. He built these two massively large-sized kruvim. In addition to the kruvim that were resting on top of the aron, he built these gigantic kruvim that were 10 amos tall in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why did he do that? It was obviously a Piruach HaKodesh. Shlomo HaMelech wanted that his Mikdash should be the final Mikdash. He should be Mashiach, and this should be the Geula. And then the time will come where the Shechina will be out in the open. The Kruvim, which represent the Hashuas HaShechina, is not going to be limited to a box. The Kruvim is going to be standing on the floor on the open, because the Shechina is out in the open, not limited to one specific little area of Tzimtzum. The requirement to build the Aron to limit the Luchos to one location only came after the Chet HaEgel. That's all symbolized in that is a limitation, that is a chesaron in our connection to the Shechina. And that's why the Mishkan is called the Tzoror Hamar. It's not just more dodili bein shaddai olin. If it would have been a full forgiveness, it would have been more. Hashem gave us a more. He gave us the mechaber, but He only gave us a tsuror hamar. It's limited. Yeah.
That's why it's. I mean, all of what you just said is based on the fact that the aron wasn't meant. The luchos weren't meant to be put into something, because very simply, when did they get the command to build the aron? Moshe came down with the luchos. Where was he going to put it? It didn't say anything. So until after he broke, until after the Chet HaEgel, then right. The commandment was given to put it in, to lock it away.
After the Chet HaEgel,
it was going to be exposed.
It's going to be exposed. That's exactly, and that is a loss that we've experienced due to the irreparable loss until Mashiach comes. We've experienced because, of, and again, that's, I want to be emphasize. That's what it says here. That Tzoror. The mar is the fragrance. We're being restored. The love is being restored, but it's still going to be limited. Okay, now let's see the Targum of Pasuk Yigimel. Pasuk Yigimel, the Targum says a lot of things here which does not really clear how it fits into the Pasuk. Bahi Zimna, at that moment in time after the Chet HaEgel, Omar Hashem L'Moshe, Ezil Go Chus, descend, Lech Raid, Arum chabilu amoch, kishiches amcha. Your people have sinned. That we're reporting. This is a translation. He's taking the pasuk in the Torah in Parash Kisisa. Lech reid kishiches amcha. They have sinned. Pesach mini Heref mimeni. That's what it says in the Torah. Leave me alone. Distance yourself from me. Ve'eshetzinun, and I will destroy them. I will obliterate them. Bechein means oz. At that moment in time, Tov Moshe, Moshe returned to Hashem. Uva'or rachamim min kodem Hashem was mevakesh rachm, was mespalo. Now here, the Targum says something over here very, very strange, which all the commentators are very disturbed. Now we know what it says in the Pasuk. Vayichal Moshe espene Hashem lukim vayomer lo ma Hashem yech abcha b'yamecha asher hoteseisa mi'eretz Mitzrayim b'choyach gadol v'yoncha hazaka lo ma yomer hagoyim ayei elokeichem v'chulu. And then he finally, the knockout blow, zechor la'avraham li'yitzak u'li'akav. Remember the zechus avos. Nowhere in the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu vayichal Moshe is there any mention of the Akedah. There's no mention of the Akedah. Zechor la'avraham li'yitzak li'yakov. What do we say zechor? It means the merit of Avraham. We don't focus specifically on the Akedah. It's not a category. He didn't say the Akedah. But over here, look what the Targum says. U'dechar Hashem lohon. Everything over here is a pasuk of Kisisa. Right? It says, lech reit, kishiche samcha, hedef mimeni. All of those words are found here in the Targum. So you'd expect him to say Zechor la'Avraham le'Yitzchak u'li'Yaakov. And here, shockingly, the Targum throws in Udikar, remember Hashem lohon Akidas Yitzchak. Remember the Akedah. Dechafte avoy, that his father Avraham tied up Yitzchak b'Tur Moria on Har HaMoria al Madbucha on the Mizbeach. The sub, and that's the tefillah. That's the tefillah.
Well, you don't have to say the Akedah when you say the word Yitzchak. That's what.
So you want to suggest? What you're suggesting is this is an incredible chiddush that when Moshe Rabbeinu says Zechor la'Avraham li'Yitzchak u'li'Yaakov, the translation. What do we think when we say those words? The Akedah. That's the Iker. Not the Zechus of all of the ten, the other nine Nisyonos. Not the Zechus of Avraham or Ivri in his whole life. When it says Zechor la'Avraham li'Yitzchak, it means Yakeda, which are two partners, Avraham and Yitzchak. And it doesn't explain Yaakov, though.
Yeah, Yaakov?
What is Yaakov doing there? See, if it just says Zechor la'Avraham li'Yitzchak, then okay, very good, it's the Akedah. That's the Iker. The Iker avoided is the Nesoyin of Avraham and the Nesoyin of Yitzchak. But the fact that it says Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I think the common man, go here, take a poll and shul.
Yeah, but the Avraham and Yitzchak together is what was made Yaakov into the person he was.
But is that, that's
in other
not
words, the life of Avraham, when you have a grandfather and a father who lived the life that they had,
right?
You see that,
yeah,
the length of time you have.
But that's not the Akedah. That's not the Akedah. That's not the focus of the Akedah. If you ask the common man, Zechor la'Avraham li'Yitzchak u'li'Yaakov, and even look at Rashi, no one says the Akedah. Avraham was a good man, Yitzchak was a good man, and Yaakov was a good man. And there's something called Zechus Avos. They've done a billion mitzvos over their entire life. Akedah, Yitzchak, that's one of many. And here along comes the Targum, and he's translating the Pesukim, and he's telling us, the only thing that Moshe Rabbeinu had in mind when he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zechor le'Avraham li'Yitzchak u'li'Yaakov, was the Akedah. Now, if he would just say Avraham and Yitzchak, you could say that, but he says also Yaakov. So what's going on over here?
The story affected Yaakov.
Okay. You have to say something like that, yeah?
Let me suggest a connection here. I think that what the Targum here is doing is explaining the expression Zeror Hamor. Dekachte Avui, his father found him
tied up.
Roar, Bitur Moriah.
Ooh, unbelievable, Gavaldik. Unbelievable. So I looked at a lot of Swarm and I didn't see anyone say this. So this is your idea? Brilliant. This really answers all the questions. Everyone struggles here. I know no one says you really machadish. Unbelievable. Tzror Hamor is the Akedah. He's fataiching the Akedah to bind up Yitzchak, Kesia, Mar Har Hamaria, and Nemela, he's taking this and he's fataiching. That's exactly what it meant. Zechor la'Avraham le'Yitzchak u'li'Yaakov, because he quotes all the psukim in the Torah. Unbelievable shot. Unbelievable. I go to a koil after I learn here. I go to a shul around the corner.
They pay you?
No, they don't pay me there. And then I know. They are the koil of the Rosh calls of Simcha Soloveitchik. I try to get him to come speak. It's hard to get him to come speak here, but he gets very excited, and every so often he comes up with a chiddush, and he says it was kedai. The first time I heard him say this, I got very nervous. He got so excited. It was kedai, the whole koilel, all the 25 years of this koilel, to come to this chiddush. And he says it with such zest, oh, such a chiddush. We have to make a kiddush, and he does. He comes in the next day, and he brings in food, and he makes a kiddush. The whole koilel for 25 years was kedai to come to such a chiddush. First time I heard this, I got very nervous. The next time, a week later, I heard him do exactly the same thing, with the same excitement. And he made another kiddush. Different kiddush. So there was a fellow there that's learning with Mechalus, he says to him, and he did this already a few times, so he says to him, the koil must be already 1,000 years old. Because every time, it was kedai, the whole koil, so every time you're building upon all the previous chidushim, when you multiply all of the chidushim, and every chidush is cumulative of all the chidushim. So it's such a chidush of Mechalus, kedai, he came back from Florida at least. At least he came back from Florida to teach us this idea that Tzror Amoris Fataicha, what it means over here, Bahar Maria, Al Madbucha, Bisov Hashem Min Rugzei, Hashem Had Harahi, he did true Hashem, he rescinded his Gezerah, on his anger, the Ashrei Shechinte Bineon Kimil Kadmon, and the Shechinah returned to Klal Yisrael. So we have over here a very beautiful Targum. Targum and Rashi are obviously very similar in theme. It's very different than the parish of the Mitsudos, which very beautifully tells us about the three different types of spices. The Mugmar, the Nerd, and the Mor. Hashem is the Mor, Klal Yisrael is the Nerd, and the Umos Ha'olam is the Mugmar. Okay, now let us go to, you know, it's very interesting, we have in the Birchas HaMazon. Maybe that could be a little, add some insight into the Birchas Hamazon. Birchas Hamazon, you recite four brachas. Four brachas. What are the four brachas? Hazan, Noidilcha, Uvnei Yerushalayim, and then Hatoyva Hametiv in the Avne. And then after Birchas Hamazon's over, you make a Bari Minei Besamen, the Mugmar. So the first bracha is Moshe Rabbeinu. The second bracha was Yoshua. Third bracha was David Shlomo. And the next brother was Biavne, the Anshei Knesset, Biavne Hiskim, the Umsakim, the Anshei Knesset Agadola. And then is Mugmar. What is Mugmar? Mugmar, we just learned, according to the Targum, is the Umos Ha'olam. The Umos Ha'olam, also to some, maybe there's a Jewish, is that, you know, we're going down, every creature in this world is Makir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he provides Parnasa. Moshe was the highest level. He was marked that the Iker Parnassah is the spiritual Parnassah, the Torah. He get Yeshua's Kibush Aretz, area the Holy Land. Then there's Davar Shlomo, the next Madrega. Then there's the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, which is another Madrega. And then there's the Mugmar. When you finish Birchas HaMazon, you Baruch Atah Hashem Kedem Melech Olam Bari Atzei B'Samin. And according to the Targum, the Mugmar is Merameh on the Umos Ha'olam. The Umos Ha'olam also, in their way, recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides sustenance to this world. You can't say the Umos Ha'olam are totally out of the loop. They also have a tafkid mingmak of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So really we have five different madregos in Hakara that Hashem is mezin mefarnes es hakol. Even the Umos Ha'olam have a chelek in this. According to the Drush, we're trying to connect this to what the Targum, what the Mitsudos David says. Okay, now let's go to the next pasuk. Eshkol ha-koyfer dodi li b'charmei ein gedi. A lot of midrashim on this very hard pasuk. Let's first take a look at the Mitzudos David. We're discussing now a new fragrance. The fragrance of the cluster of koyfer. Koyfer, I have no idea what it is. It's some type of spice, or fragrance, or herb. The Mitzudos says... Alright, let me turn the page. Okay, Eshkla Koifer, Doime Ata Be'enai Le'eshkla Koifer, HaGadol B'Karmi Engedi. Who's speaking over here? Klal Yisrael is speaking like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're compared to a cluster of Koifer, which grows in the garden of Ein Gedi. HaMerube B'Gargarim has many seeds, and has the ability to produce fragrance in the distance. Now notice here the contrast between the Tsuror HaMor, where the Tara, the Mitzudas in the previous pause told us that it's confined. It's confined, limited to this bundle, doesn't spread anywhere. Because if it's going to spread, it's going to get ruined. So you keep it locked up, you keep it in the pouch, and the Eshkol HaKoyfer, which has the koyach to spread to great far distances. V'anim shul huloymar, harbe pelos osis imodi hanishmoim ad afse aretz. Hashem, you've done for me incredible miracles, which the record, the report of these wonders have spread to the ends of the earth, like the Eshkol HaKoyfer that is, grows and is cultivated in Ein Gedi. Let's now take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, in the vineyards where Rashi says, Eshkla Koifer Yesh Boisem Sheshmoi Koifer Kmo Kiforim Im Nirdomim. Later on, Kiforim Im Nirdim V'Osri Ke'ein Eshkolas. The spice, it's a fragrance, it's an herb, whatever this is, it's similar to Nerd. It's an herb like Nerd. And it's made, it's cultivated in clusters. The Karmi and Gedi, Shein Mokim. It's a location. Visham Hu Motsui, period. And now we go to Agada.
Nerd.
Yeah. That's what later on. It's just since we see them in since we see the two are grouped together, since we see in that possible two are grouped together, so obviously they're both similar. They're both different types of herbs.
Yeah.
Where is it to be found? It's found in the vineyards of Ein Gedi. Now he goes into a drasha. These vineyards in Ein Gedi, they produce fruits 4 or 5 times a year. This is the uniqueness of Ein Gedi. And the drush over here is Eshkol HaKoifer. Hashem, you have forgiven us multiple times. Just like in the Kerem of Ein Gedi, fruits come forth 4 or 5 times a year. Hashem, you continuously forgive us for our sins. Multiple sins, many, many tests that we have failed. Loli de Nisayon, Veloli de Nisayon. Most of the time, when you come with de Nisayon, you come with de Nisayon, you fail the Nisayon. And therefore, the deeper measure of this pasuk according to Rashi is that you have forgiven us multiple times, like a cluster. Clusters of forgiveness have been granted to us, just like the fruits of Ein Gedi. The fruits of Ein Gedi in the orchards produce fruits 4 or 5 times a year. You continuously forgave us for our transgressions in the desert from time to time. Now, throughout the year, it's the same thing as well. Every Rosh Chodesh, Hashem forgives us. Zman kaparu l'chol tol dosan. Every Yom Tov is a Zman Kapara. So Shabbos is not. Shabbos is no Chatos and Shabbos, but Rosh Chodesh and all of the Moadim is always an additional Darga of forgiveness. So that... We have 5 Yom Tov. What are the 5 Yom Tov? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shal Shugolim. Very good. 4 or 5 times a year. So in Chanami fits perfectly. Mamashul Darashi, 5 times a year we have Kapara, special Kamen Chatos to Mechaper on our sins. Okay, let's stick with the Targum. Let's just chapter in the Targum over here. Targum on Pasik Yudalid. Okay, it's a very long Targum. Okay, let's just do, even though it's a little bit late, let's try to go through it. Ha, hi. Bechein. Hai means, it means like, behold, hine, b'chein, then, nechas Moshe, Moshe went down, he went down from Shemayim, u'shrein luchei avnin bido, he had 2 luchos in his hand, u'vigin choyvei Yisrael, and when he came down from Shemayim with the 2 luchos in his hands, due to the sins of Klal Yisrael, is yakaru yado, his hands became heavy, became weak, it was too heavy to carry. When the follow, they fell down. The it baru, and they were shattered. The chain, us, they, it was too heavy. When Moshe, what? We know that the Osios left. We know that the Chazal tells that the Osios is what carried the Luchos, the holy letters.
Right.
When the Osios detected the Egel, the Osios were Parchos Ba'avir, and all Moshe was left carrying was the slab of stone that was too heavy for him to carry, and it fell and it shattered. Visparu. B'chein, Oz, it means then. Azal Moshe went, Vishof Yos Igla, he ground up the Egel. Uvadar Yos Afre Linachla, and he dispersed the dust into the valley. The Ashki Yos Bnei Yisrael, and he gave them to drink the waters of the waters, the mixture of the water and the dust of the Egel. Uketal Yos Kol Mande Yisyachav Ketol, and he killed anyone that worshipped the Egel. Usleg Zimna Tin Yeso Lirikia, he went a second time to Shemayim. The Tzalei Kodem Hashem, he davened to Hashem. The Chapar Al Bnei Yisrael, and here's the point that we need Eshkol HaKoyfer, and Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael. Bechein then, Ispakad Lemevad Mashkina, Hashem gave the command they should build the Mishkan, Va'arayna, and an Aroin, Ba'ahu Zimna at that moment in time. Oichi Moshe, Moshe was quick, he was swift, Va'avad Yos Mashkina, he built the Mishkan, V'yos Kol Manoin, all of the utensils, V'yos Aroina, V'shavi Ba'arayna, and he put in the Aroin, Yos Train Luchin Ocharonin, the second set of Luchos, Umani Yos Beno, the Aroin Kahano Likrova, Kurbuna Al Madbucha, he commanded, he instructed Aaron's children to offer sacrifice on the Mizbeach, Ulinasacho Yoschamra al Kurbono, and to pour Yayin Nesachim on the Mizbeach.
What happened to the, I thought the broken person was for also free.
Luchos v'shivir luchos, munachos v'aron. Okay, but that's not the ikar. The ikar is the second luchos, because the first was shat nechnam. He's not saying that. You're raising a good point. He's not saying that. Targum is not mentioning that. Here is the amazing chiddush of the Targum, which is the big topic of discussion. And it's Targum over here says that it was nesachim. The mitzvah of nesachim was given to Moshe Rabbeinu when he came down from Shemayim with the second set of luchos. After he built the Mishkan, he put the luchos and he told Aaron to offer nesachim. Now they're in the desert. When you're in the desert, where in the world are you going to get wine? Where are you going to buy wine in the desert? From the Goyim? You can't buy wine. This is the Ayin Esach. Yayin Esach, you know, the wine that comes from a guy is suspect that he poured out, and even though it was later takana, it was only formalized. Seemingly, it was also understood. You don't take wine from a guy in the time. That's what it seems. That wine. Where are you going to get wine? Where are you going to get wine from a guy in the desert? Uminayin Havalon. What?
You showed him argue about where they got all the stuff for the egg to build the arrow.
That they took out
okay,
but here it's 40 years. That stuff already was only one time requirement.
Say they bought it from the local
they bought it,
people as they were.
But it was only a one time event. Here they can offer nesachim for the 40 years in the desert. Where are they going to get wine for 40 years in the kosher wine? So minayin havalahon chamra l'nasachim. Where do they get wine to pour? So here is an incredible chiddush. Hala inun b'marbar, they're in the desert. Lo asar kosher beis zerat. It's not a place which is possible to seed. The afla seinin the gufnin v'rimon. They don't have. There's no seinin the gufnin v'rimon. There's no pomegranates. There's no vines. There's no figs. So where in the world are you going to be able to cultivate a vineyard? Ela. Here's the Karmei in Gedi come in.
The Meraglim brought back.
Oh, that's the Medrash. The Meraglim brought back grapes, and from the Medrash says that from that one grape, they brought back had so much wine, they had enough wine for 40 years for the entire Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's a shocking Medrash. Okay, but over here we have a Targum that differs and says, Ela Havo Ozlin L'Karmei in Gedi. They went, they sent out a mission, a convoy. They sent out people to go to Ein Gedi in the desert. They snuck into Eretz Yisrael to Ein Gedi, and they continuously brought back grapes in Eretz Yisrael. Ela havoy ozen lekarmei Ein Gedi, v'nosvin mitaman. They brought back from there askolin de'indin, clusters of grapes. V'otzrin min hon chamra, and they pressed them. They produced wine. U'menaschin yosei al madbucha. They brought on the mizbeach a ravos hina. A quarter of a hin, revias a hin, le'imah for a sheep, chad for one sheep. So all of that is alluded to over here in this pasuk over here. Eshkol ha'koyfer do dili b'charmei Ein Gedi. You are like a cluster of forgiveness. The Eshkol here is Moshe Rabbeinu. I don't know what the word Eshkol, the Moshe Rabbeinu, you have some insight on why it's called the Eshkol. Eshkol is a cluster of Koifer, the Targum is forgiveness. Doidi Li, Hashem, you forgave me. When Moshe Rabbeinu went, he was misfalved, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the Chedor Egel, continuing in the previous theme, you forgave us. There was an abundance. What? Kaifer is called Parba. What's Eshkol? What's the significance of the word Eshkol? What's the Eshkol? That's not clear what the Eshkol is.
I mean, there are a lot of interpretations.
Yes, well, that's Midrashim, but how do you fit into the Targum? Look, only focusing on the Targum. The Targum over here is Moshe, he went and he came down, he shared the Luchos, and then he went to receive a new set of luchos, and Hashem forgave, and he was mispal, Hashem forgave. Maybe
So you can say it's like a couple of times.
Eshkol.
A couple of times he got the luchos. Rashi
says Eshkol Kofi means an abundance of atonement. He doesn't, Targum doesn't talk on the multiple times. One time, Moshe went to Shemami with Mispal, and Hashem said, Solach lichid varecha, period. That's it. I forgive you. How does that affect Eshkol? It's not clear what the Targum is trying to say, but it means forgiveness. Dodi li, and the Charmi En Gedi means in the vineyards of En Gedi. Or maybe what he means is the entire pasuk is referring to the Nesachim. Eshkol means clusters of grapes. Maybe that's what he means to say. Clusters of grapes which serve of Nesachim, and the Nesachim was a chelik of the Kapara. Right? The Nesachim is an extension of the Kapara. Where Moshe told Aaron, offer sacrifice on the Mizbeach, and with the sacrifices, pour Nesachim. And that will serve as an atonement. So the clusters of grapes that were poured on the Mizbeach, that served as Kapara, Dodi Li, Hashem, my beloved, has done for me. He has granted me this ability to do so. How? B'charmei En Gedi, by allowing us to sneak into Eretz Yisrael, to the vineyards of En Gedi, and retrieve from there these clusters of grapes to bring back to the Midbar and to press them to make wine and pour in the Mizbeach in order to achieve a degree of Kapara. Possibly that's really what he's alluding to. So the whole thing really, he's jumping to the end of the process. We know what happened. We know that Moshe shared the Luchos, and Moshe was misfal, and Hashem said, I forgive you. But you have to bring Karbanos. So how are we going to bring Karbanos requiring Nesachim? Why is Nesachim the most important part of the Karbanos? That's a very mysterious thing. Nesachim over here, according to this page of the Targum, becomes the most essential chelik of Kapara, of the Karbanos on the Mizbeach. All right, we'll stop here.